We approached Denison because we knew that they had a tremendous amount of good exploration ground in that area. And we had a discussion, and we ended up doing the transaction where we acquired three projects from them through a joint venture agreement. We'll own 70% of those projects. And importantly, Denison has now become our largest and most strategic shareholder. You know, they weren't looking to make cash on this transaction. They weren't looking to exit these projects. They've now become a 19.9% shareholder of us. They've maintained 30% of the project. Like I said, these are projects where they weren't looking to give up on them, but they also realize that their focus is on developing their Phoenix deposit on the Wheeler River project and looking for immediate feed in and around that area. So the area where we got these projects on just weren't a priority for them. And, you know, I worked 10 years at Denison Mines, so there's an old relationship there, and it made a lot of sense to bring these two groups together.
This is Steve Yang and Andy Millett with Natural Resource Stocks, and we've got a guest today, Keith Bunnerchuk from Cocosa Resources in Vancouver. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing very good. Great to be here, guys.
Awesome. Well, looks like you got some big news. You got some completion of a joint venture with Denison Mines. We'll have to hear more about that. What excites you about this?
Yeah, certainly. So, yeah, we are a uranium exploration company with assets in the Athabasca Basin in Saskatchewan, Canada. And really the thing about the Athabasca Basin is it's kind of like the Saudi Arabia of uranium, in a sense where everybody's competing to get ground in this area. And there's really a few companies that have managed to have success in that area and really advance projects towards production, you know, Cameco being the largest one. But then there's companies like NexGen Energy and Denison Mines that are developing assets and looking to bring them on production. So we approached Denison because we knew that they had a tremendous amount of good exploration ground in that area. And we had a discussion, and we ended up doing the transaction where we acquired three projects from them through a joint venture agreement. We'll own 70% of those projects. And importantly, Denison has now become our largest and most strategic shareholder. You know, they weren't looking to make cash on this transaction. They weren't looking to exit these projects. They've now become a 19.9% shareholder of us. They've maintained 30% of the project. Like I said, these are projects where they weren't looking to give up on them. But they also realize that their focus is on developing their Phoenix deposit on the Wheeler River project and looking for immediate feed in and around that area. So the area where we got these projects on just weren't a priority for them. And, you know, I worked 10 years at Denison Mines, so there's an old relationship there. And it made a lot of sense to bring these two groups together because, you know, our COSA is somewhat of a newer story, but our exploration team has been around for a long time, and we've had a tremendous amount of success. Our team found the Hurricane deposit during our time at ISO Energy. That quickly catapulted ISO Energy from, you know, a $30 million company to a $500 million company. Obviously, I mentioned I spent time at Denison, and so did a few other members of our team. So, you know, we've really had our, I guess, fingerprints on a lot of the success, exploration success in that area of the world over the past, you know, 15 years. And so it's kind of a full circle moment for me where I've, you know, really got my start at Denison, and now I'm able to really do some unfinished business on some of these projects we acquired. And so it's extremely exciting. You know, Denison is a deep pocketed, almost, you know, $2 billion company, and really has a great group of people who are doing the right things and really looking for that pipeline of discoveries. And so it made a lot of sense to bring these two groups together and do this transaction.
Excellent. Hey, if I could ask you a question here, Keith, give me a little more specifics on what exactly does this mean to COSA with this acquisition, if you would. What is it going to do? Yeah, where are you at with the exploration of it and drilling holes and that sort of thing?
Yeah, no, exactly. So the three projects we got, the number one I'll talk about is Murphy Lake North. It's in a very, I guess, hot area, you would call it, of the Athabasca Basin. It's within 4 kilometers of the Hurricane deposit, which our management team found in 2018 during our time at ISO Energy. So we're very familiar with that area. It's also an area where Cameco's spent a lot of time having success too. And so I think I like to say it's really one of the most juiced up areas of the Athabasca Basin. And so that Murphy Lake North is a top priority for us. It hasn't seen much exploration over the past 10 years. It has drill ready targets, and we'll be drilling that as soon as we can. It's it's looking to be within the next few weeks here. We start drilling that project right away. And we're fully funded for that initial program. And the other project I'll touch on is the Darby Lake project. It's right along trend of Cigar Lake, which is Cameco's. It's one of the largest uranium mines in the world. It's another one where Denison just never got around to being able to drill it. And the historical drilling that's been done on it hasn't really intersected that optimal target. But what it's done is really painted a picture about what's happening underneath the ground. They just haven't really killed off any areas of it. And so it's one that, you know, Denison was honestly hesitant to get rid of, but they realized that, you know, in our hands, we could unlock a good amount of value and give it the attention it deserves. And so Darby's another one that's very important to us because it's butting right up against Cameco's ground. Like these are areas of the basin that haven't been available over the past 20 years, you know, and we're getting access into this area that, you know, it's hotly contested. And so these two projects are huge for us and, you know, they'll be our priority with Murphy Lake North being the first one. And we'll be ready to drill that here in the next few weeks.
Got it. Steve, if I could ask one more question before you jump on. You've name dropped some very impressive names there. Tell me a little bit more about the Athabascan region. What does that mean for uranium? And I ask that somewhat rhetorically. I'm asking that for our listeners that have no idea about that area and that jurisdiction.
Yeah, certainly. So the Athabasca Basin is in northern Saskatchewan in Canada. It's home to the highest grade and largest uranium mines in the world. It's a very, it's a hotly contested area because people realize that you can get such high grade deposits in that area. So for context, the average grade of a deposit outside of the Athabasca Basin is about 0.2% uranium in and around there. During our time at ISO Energy, the Hurricane deposit that we found, the average grade of that was 34.5% uranium. This is the most valuable rock on the planet in any commodity. And so that's hence why people tend to head to this area and chase it. And the reality is they are difficult to find. You know, there's been probably five, I'd say, significant discoveries over the past, you know, 15 years. You know, our group's been a part of three of them. And so we are a group that has had a lot of success in this area. I actually grew up in Saskatchewan. I spent majority of my time there. And so I obviously working at Denison, our whole team, you know, has spent really since about 2007 in this area. And so those grades are the reason why everybody flocks to this area. And what you've seen over the past 2 years, even as the uranium market has started to pick up steam, that, you know, hundreds of companies are coming to that area and you're seeing groups that maybe operating in the United States or Australia or other jurisdictions know that they need to come to this area if they want to take part in this uranium boom. So it's very interesting. Like I said, it is basically the Saudi Arabia of uranium in a sense that, you know, it's the most hotly contested area to be in when you're exploring for uranium.
Got it. Steve, I have another question, but go ahead and jump in if you got one. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about a little bit about your background. What's, interesting to me is that you started out as a geologist. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Yep. Years of experience doing there. But what's more important and what I'm most interested in as an investor is your experience in the capital markets.
Sure.
And that's actually quite rare to have both. So congratulations to you. Yeah, I really want to know what I'm interested in is your experience in the capital markets. How are you raising money and how much money do you have in the bank right now?
So I did start off as a geologist, spending majority of my time at Denison Mines. I started to get a taste for the business side of things. So I went and moved to Vancouver, did an MBA, managed to secure a corporate development job with a little company called ISO Energy at the time. We obviously made a discovery when we were there and we went from 30 cents to $6.50 during my time there. So that, you know, that was obviously, you know, a very fun ride and a very good thing to be a part of. I started to do some deals out of there and get really a taste from the corporate development side. I moved over to something called Inventa Capital. That's where Craig Perry, who's an advisor of our group, he helped found that with Michael Connert. Michael Connert's the CEO of Visa Silver. And it's really an incubator for natural resource companies. And so that's where I actually ended up incubating COSA itself and building this company from scratch. And, you know, that gave me good exposure. Obviously, Visa Silver, you know, doing fantastic things down in Mexico, rapidly developing their Panuco. project, it gave me access to, you know, a lot of obviously capital, success, and really an office full of people that have done very well, who are willing to, you know, give you checks early, especially early on, and help fund you as you build out your brand and as you build out your name. But also during my time at ISO, I did get exposure to a lot of, you know, uranium funds and things like that. They really are long uranium and really like to support these stories. And they have largely been our financiers series to date. It's mostly based on the people, I'd say, at this point, because they are funds that tend to go for larger names, but they really are backing what we're doing here. And so I think that has really helped us build quite a stable capital structure and really access you know, capital that might not have been available for as early stage a company as we were at the time. And now, you know, having Denison in the fold at just under 20% shareholder, Denison has put up their hand to commit a minimum of $1 million in future equity financings for us too. So that does bring an extra layer of capital, where if we were able to, you know, have success, we will have Denison there with us along for the ride. And so I think, you know, I've been privileged of being able to work with a lot of great teams along the way. And I've tried to act like a sponge, just absorbing as much as I can, you know, from the likes of Craig, Steve Bloor, our chairman, even during my time at Denison, working with those tremendous people. So I think, you know, a lot of it, I've been fortunate with the stories I've been a part of, and I'm looking to replicate that with COSA.
Excellent. Steve, do you got one, or I got some more?
You mentioned 20% share of Denison Mines has.
Not yet, 19.9, yeah.
19.9. Could you talk a little bit more about the share structure of the company overall, and how many shares you got fully diluted, and how many awards and options you have out there?
Yeah, so with the completion of the Denison transaction, which was announced this morning, we now have 71 million shares outstanding, with Denison owning just under 20% of that. Our management team and advisors, we control just under 20%. You know, the beauty of what happened at ISO, you know, where we did manage to make a decent amount of money. And so we've put a lot of that back into COSA and what we're building here. And, you know, I think you've seen, I've done a lot of on-market buy, and we continue to really support this story ourselves too, as we continue to advance it. Warrants wise, just over 12 million. The cheapest of those will be priced at 50 cents. The other one's just over 60 cents. You know, all those are max 2-year warrants. Option wise, just over 5 million options. So fully diluted, just over 88 million shares outstanding. Cash wise, we finished or entered Q4 at about 3.6 million Canadian, probably sitting just under 3 at this point. It's important to know that we are fully funded for this upcoming drill program. These are quite shallow targets at Murphy Lake North. The program will be just under $1 million itself to really have a significant drill program. And so it's very cost-effective exploration. I think we are a team, like I said, that's been operating in that area for a long time. And it is obviously an inflationary environment that everybody's dealing with, but we can navigate that as good as any team as far as exploring as cost-effectively as we can.
Real quick on that question is, if I might ask, I just want to make sure I got this correct. Your warrants are exercisable at 50 cents and 60 cents. Is that correct?
Just over 60 cents. I'd have to double check what the last fine. It might be 67.
So at this recording, you're just under 20 cents. So you got a long runway.
Sorry, that'd be Canadian. So we're probably sitting at about 26 or 27 cents Canadian.
Got it. Okay. So we still got I stand corrected, but we still got quite the runway then before those are in the money. So excellent.
Yeah. Layers. Definitely.
Got it. Steve, do you have another question?
Speaking of investors, if someone wants to invest in your company, can you tell us about the tickers or how people get in touch with you?
Yeah, definitely. So we are listed on the TSX Venture in here in Canada under the ticker COSA. We're also on the OTC under COSAF. So we actively trade on both those exchanges. As far as getting a hold of us, I encourage people, we can reach out, email on the website. Also through social media, if they want to reach out to us on X or anything like that, we do readily look at our emails if people want to do that, or if they want to follow us, they could sign up for our email list, anything like that, you know, we have available.
Andy, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, well, one last question, Keith. Anything that you can share or talk with, any breaking, I don't want to say breaking news, but any news that you foresee hitting, and I'm sure you do, within the next quarter that you can share that we can just keep our investor antennas out for?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, drilling is always the biggest catalyst for any uranium exploration company, especially when you're going after the grades that we are. And, you know, we will be drilling here in the next few weeks. And so that is our biggest catalyst. Going forward, you know, we'll have lots of news flowing in and around that. I think what you've seen in the uranium space itself is that, you know, the fundamentally is the strongest it's ever been. Obviously, the spot price shot up last January and it's kind of trickled down a bit here. But the spot price is just a small part of the story about what's really happening in the background of the uranium space itself. And I think, you know, with this deal behind us, you know, bringing in a strategic like Dennis and us coming up and drilling here, I think we've really created a recipe where if we do have any sort of technical success in this uranium environment, you'll see our share price torque up in a very meaningful way.
Excellent. All right. Well, Keith, Steve and I are going to be watching. As of right now, for all of our investors, we are not, as of yet, investors out there. I should say all of our listeners, we are not investors yet. However, that will more than likely be changing over the next few weeks. Do your own due diligence. COSA or Keith did not pay for this advertiser. We are just curious. Advertisement. We are just very curious in their company. Keith, I want to thank you so much for your time. And we'll put everything, all of your tickers and links to your website in all of the show notes, both on the YouTube channel as well as the podcast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Keith, great to meet you.
Great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Thank you. Take care.